Good afternoon. How's it all going? Well, flagging a little bit in the afternoon. It's just what you need is a level 400 infrastructure. Yes. Well done. So my name's James Bannon, and this is the official title was Cooking in the Cloud, which was cheesy enough to get me mentioned in the keynote, which is why I put it forward, of course. But it's all about Chef. Now, who uses Chef now? Does anyone use Chef? We have someone. All right, excellent. If I get anything wrong, you're not allowed to say. Is anyone looking at it, knows what it is, at least? Yeah, all right, so there's some interest. Anyone have absolutely no idea what it is and thought this was something about MasterChef? No? All right, it isn't anything about MasterChef, although my creme brulee is excellent, but we're not doing that here. So, what this is about is, for those of you who know where I come from an infrastructural perspective, it's been very much about Config Manager. Okay, so that's been my focus for a number of years. So the idea of leveraging a platform and having that platform reach out to workstations or to servers and have them do stuff is something that I quite enjoy. It's a nerdy thing, obviously. It's a power control. Anyway, I've been doing a lot more work with Azure, probably over the last couple of years, 18, 24 months. And if you ever go through the provisioning process on a virtual machine, where you spin one up and you go next, 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 and then right at the end, it says, would you like some antivirus? Would you like DSC? Would you like Chef? Would you like Puppet? And as a Windows administrator, this was the first time I'd ever actually come across this stuff before. I was fairly embarrassed to admit it. I ran it past some of my Unix friends, and they went, what do you think? Of course, you know, this is what we use to do desired state configuration on Linux. It's been around for ages. How did I miss that? And one of the main reasons why we're now seeing it is because Microsoft is playing very, very nice with the open source community. You may have seen that there's been a number of partnerships that Microsoft has initiated with companies like Chef, like Puppet. And when you go and talk to those companies, or when you go and talk to people who work with Chef, work with Puppet, and you ask them, hey, what about Microsoft? Whereas 12 months ago, they would have thrown something at you. Now they say, yeah, Microsoft's a really cool company. Something's changed. They work well with us. They work well with open source. They commit to open source. They play friendly. So what we're starting to see is a very interesting shift in the tool sets that are available to us as Microsoft specialists. And I started to do a bit of research into, okay, well, do I want to be looking at DSC? Do I want to be looking at Chef? Do I want to be looking at Puppet? Which one is the way to go? Because Chef and Puppet are like nothing that you've ever dealt with. If you have a System Center background, that will not help you. It's completely different. The initial research I said is said, okay, Chef and Puppet, they're both based on Ruby. So, but Puppet is more from an infrastructural perspective. So if you're an infrastructure guy, go look at Puppet. If you're a dev guy, Chef is probably where you want to be because it's a very open platform, it's a very powerful platform, but the barrier to entry is also quite high. So initially I thought, yep, I'll take the easy path because that sounds like the thing for me. Time poor, as most of us are. So, right, Puppet is it. Infrastructurally, wasn't really happy with it. Ended up spending most of the time troubleshooting the server, why the server wouldn't work, why nodes wouldn't converge. Thought, stuff it, fire up Chef, bang, just instantly worked. Yes, there's a high barrier to entry. We'll see why that is. But it is a very, very powerful platform and something that I think everyone should start to get involved in. Why? And where does my clicker work? What's the range? Ah, the range is here. So if I'm there, it's not going to work. Ah, it doesn't work. There we go. All right. Start thinking of your infrastructure as code. Nothing that you'll see today will make sense if you don't ram this into your heads. It's something that's been on the cards for quite some time. When Microsoft brought out Server 2012, And all of a sudden, we could start configuring our networking, configuring our storage using PowerShell, not just using PowerShell as a management tool to get the work done, but enabling functionality that we couldn't necessarily do through the UI. So all of a sudden, we needed to think about our infrastructure as having a foundation within code. Now, for most of us, it's a very new idea. We still do our scripts, and we still automate a little bit, perhaps. But this is a step up. This is looking at your infrastructure in its entirety, in this storage, networking, virtual machines, and very much about the configuration of your virtual machine instances, regardless of where they sit, and saying, this is not something that I want to RDP into or SSH into, and then I'm going to do some manual work, or I'm going to run some scripts, or I'm going to set up an automation job to do a push. I want to be completely hands-off. Now, how do I do that? From a config manager perspective, everything was about imperative language. Okay, what do I mean by imperative? Imperative is the how. If I say, Adam, go, leave. That's, sorry, it's fine. It's imperative. But if I say, Adam, at some point, I want you to be out there. Okay, it's up to you how you do it. Okay, I don't mind if you want to crawl on your belly like a dog all the way out the door, it's fine. But how you choose to get there is entirely up to you. I'm not going to say that. What I'm saying is I'm declaring what is my desired end state. That is what configuration and infrastructure as code is all about. It's not using imperative language, and when we do a lot of our PowerShell, that's what we're doing. We're using imperative language. We're saying, first go and install this feature, and then this is how I want to do the error handling. And if that doesn't work, then go do this. We're telling it what to do. We have the smarts, and we are providing the smarts to the platform. With a declarative language, we're not telling it how to get there. It has the smarts, and we're simply saying, that's what I want you to look like. Off you go. Get it done. So, in this session, this is what we're going to do. I've got a demo environment, which is my administrative Chef workstation and Chef server. Chef server is running up in Azure. All of this infrastructure is running in Azure. And if I switch between saying Azure and Azure, I've spent 2 weeks in the US. It's very confusing. Now, the administrative workstation in a Chef environment is not like System Center, where you have an administrative workstation and it has the console and it has the ADK, and you have to get kind of invested into configuring that workstation to perform in a certain way, and then it talks to a back-end server and away you go. With a Chef administrative workstation, you install what's called the ChefDK, the Chef Development Kit. And you can install that in Windows, you can install that on Mac, you can install it on Linux. It doesn't matter. You then clone down from a repository, or you start building up a repository of your own that contains all the necessary structure and code that you will then upload to the Chef server and have it do the necessary work on your behalf. Now, the advantage of this is that because it's code, it's pure code, we're leveraging source control at every stage of the game. And so if my laptop completely dies, I can jump onto another laptop, install the ChefDK, clone the repository down, and I'm good. I'm ready to go. Okay. Now, my infrastructure in Azure is a fairly traditional Azure Resource Manager environment. Storage, networking, and a couple of virtual machines, one running Windows, one running Linux. From the ChefDK, or from my administrative workstation, I can then initiate a bootstrap process. Bootstrapping is the methodology by which we get the Chef agent out onto the nodes. Now, you can use a ChefDK to talk directly to the node using SSH or WinRM. Boo, we don't like WinRM. So we're really looking forward to server 2016, where we can just use SSH for everything. But because this is running in Azure, I've got some other options, which I can show you. But the end result of this is that my two workstations will be registered against the Chef server. The node talks to the server. the workstation doesn't have to get involved. I don't need to talk to any of the nodes. Okay. Then, from my workstation, I've got some cookbooks, I've got some recipes. That is the foundation of my configuration code. It's backended by Ruby, but in the same way that if you're going to get involved in PowerShell, you don't necessarily have to know how to write .NET, the same applies in Chef. You can write Chef code without necessarily needing to know how to write Ruby. Okay? So it's not that much of a barrier to entry, as we'll see. We'll then bundle all that up into a role or multiple roles, and our nodes will talk back to the Chef server and install a full web stack. So in the case of Linux, it'll be, in the case of Linux, it's Apache, PHP, MySQL. In the case of Windows, IS, SQL, ASP.NET. So my nodes, as they currently stand, are completely bare metal. I've installed them, there's an operating system on them, but that's it. So let me cut over to that. All right. So this is my resource group environment. I've got a number of servers up and operational. It's my Chef server, a couple of Linux nodes, Windows nodes. If you want to install the Chef server yourself, there's actually a number of ways that you can do that. Chef has combined with Microsoft to set up a bring your own license offering on the Azure Marketplace. So you can jump into portal.azure.com, next, and in about 5 minutes, you've got a Chef server that's ready to go. You do not need a license for that. It says bring your own license because if you have a license, you can apply it, obviously, but you don't need one. So you can set up Chef server in your own environment, and it's pretty much free for up to about 25 nodes. If you don't want to go down the installation process, you can sign up for hosted Chef at chef.io. And you can get pretty much all the functionality that you need without spinning up any infrastructure. Now, if I take a look at one of my existing nodes, you can see that I've got an extension applied to it. In this case, it's the Chef extension. What this allows me to do is, rather than provision a server and then have the Chef DK have to reach out to that server using SSH or WinRM, which is painful, I can simply apply a Chef virtual machine extension directly to the virtual machine, and that will handle all of the bootstrapping to talk to the Chef server itself. Okay? It's a much, much easier way to go, especially because all of this is being done using Azure Resource Manager. So I'm going to take a look at how that looks. I can set that up pretty much instantly. So there's actually not that much PowerShell that does all the work. The only bit that does any work is that bit there. Ooh, that's weird. Sorry. Is that bit there? So it's a new deployment. I give it a name. I specify the resource.